you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast for Friday, May the 27th, 2016. I'm Bruce Mitchell, Senior Torch Columnist. Of course, this has been Brand Split Week. WWE announced that SmackDown, probably the biggest news, that SmackDown would go live on Tuesday and move to Tuesday nights on the USA Network, and that there would be a brand split between Raw and SmackDown. Wade Keller talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast about this. He talked to Sam Roberts on SiriusXM Radio earlier this week. He talked to Jim Ross on the PW Torch Livecast yesterday for 2 hours, available for free for all listeners, and of course available for VIP listeners. He talked to Todd Martin on The Fix about this for a good long while. And last but certainly not least, he talked to me on the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show yesterday about this, available for download for VIP members. I'm sure we'll be talking about this with callers, and we'll be talking about this with the co-host of the East Coast Cast Audio Show, Travis Bryant.
What's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up?
Now, before we get to all this big news, and it is big news.
Yes. Real quick, not brand split. It's a roster distinction or some crap.
You know, WWE like mangles language, and you know, if you can say something simply, or you can say something
we
with
have
some
to respect
jargon.
It, Bruce.
Yes. Oh, yes. I guess we do. No, we don't. We don't have to. if they can make something sound clunkier and less clear, they're going to. So, you know, here they are. Brand split's bad enough. I mean, I don't know. I never thought all the time
right.
that I'd be.
So you're proving their point.
Yeah. So,
sports entertainment roster distinction.
Yeah. Oh, I just was told that by the aforementioned Mr. Keller that it's like not being on Twitter, because I'm not on Twitter. It's like not having access to your corporate website. Like, that's supposed to make me feel like I should be on Twitter. If I could not have access to my corporate website, I'd be really happy about that. So anyway, I don't mean the Torch. The Torch website, I don't think of as a corporate website. We're a grassroots business. We're not – and it is – I guess it's a corporation in a certain sense. But anyway, good Lord. And how did I know about what Chris Jericho tweeted? I know that. So, and still I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, speaking of which, let's get to the important stuff. It was exactly what I told you, wasn't it? You see what I mean about Wade Keller, affable Wade Keller on all, you know, on these livecast things, on all these interviews, on the Wade Keller Daily Audio. It's not the same being with him, it's not the same being hanging out with him, is it? You see what I mean after all this time. You were a Wade Keller guy, even though we've been doing this livecast together for 5 years or however long it's been. But you see what I mean. You saw what I mean in New York last weekend when you guys attended Extreme Rules pay-per-view and hung out. I mean, you see what I mean. You see what I deal with all the time, right?
Well, you are right. It was nothing like Wade on the show or on audio. It was just so much better. It was more than I could really ask for.
No. I'm talking about
a tremendous guy and a stand-up guy and. Oh, you know, it's his birthday, and he's picking up the check, and, you know, I just couldn't ask for a better time, a first time meeting somebody and spending the weekend with them. How often does that happen? So, yeah, you're right. It was nothing like I thought.
No. We need to peel the Band-Aid off and pop that boil. I mean, it's like what I've lived with for 25 years. I mean, you know, this is – oh, God. Sure, finally. Oh, well. Anyway. So anyway, y'all spent Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Of course, you did. You did commentary. You did roundtable from there live for VIP members, and we all did a list. And one thing I should say. So what's your take on? I mean, a lot of people have chimed in. I did with Wade, but how do you see this? What did you say? A brand distinction?
A roster distinction. Which is very technical. It will be distinct rosters. I mean, how many things can you say that go, well, done right? Well, I'm like, well, that's everything in life. But, I mean.
Including this particular broadcast. But, yeah. So.
Totally. It has potential. both ways, to be like really great or just a cluster, and it never, like the brand split 14 years ago was at least good for the first like 2 years. Like SmackDown was an important show. From 03 to 04, or 02 to 04, SmackDown was probably better than Raw on most weeks. You hear about Ryan Ward, the writer from NXT, being, you know, given significant power and influence over the writing team at SmackDown. So you have hope that SmackDown is going to become overnight a relevant show. Well, it's going to become a relevant show overnight, but it can become the better show overnight.
Well, one thing that might help it that way is that one thing is going to influence it one way or the other is this man's going to be very interested in Raw creative process like he has been for all the years it's been on the air. And then he's going to become even more interested than, say, he has been in the SmackDown process and with, what is it, distinct rosters. That means that SmackDown doesn't have to follow the lead of whatever they come up with on Raw, that they can work independently pretty much, you would hope, if they have distinct rosters, to work on their own storylines and to actually compete creatively with with Raw. And you're right. I mean, that gives it that chance. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm a big believer to do this. They need to have that discipline to not look at the short-term temptation of mixing stars for shows to get a temporary rating, to get a temporary jump in network numbers.
Call it distinct roster. I mean, you can't just be distinct and then in 6 weeks have guys showing up on Raw and showing up on SmackDown.
Are you saying that would be indistinct language used by the WWE? That
they would very much so.
Yes, I think you're right. So, I hope that they stick to that. I hope that they do. And again, this is definitely, it's exactly what you said, and that if done right, you know, and everything in the world, if done right, would be done right. So, we'll see where that goes. We'll see how it unfolds and what this all means. I mean, I think we can. I think we can assume Roman Reigns on one, John Cena on the other, Roman Reigns on Raw and John Cena on SmackDown. And we can assume Stephanie McMahon on Raw and her brother Shane McMahon on SmackDown. So that's.
Yeah. You know. I heard I think Meltzer was talking about that there are plans to have Cena on SmackDown and Roman on Raw, and they are going to split and have two world titles. I still, even though they've reported that or however, in whatever fashion he talked about that, I still wouldn't be surprised if both Cena and Roman Reigns are on Raw.
Well, the temptation is going to be there to do that in their minds, and they are the two, you know, flawed as both of them are for different reasons. They're the two, you know, guys who move numbers better, who move metrics and who move revenue better. And Raw is the flagship. But on the other hand, you know, Wade Keller and I talked about this, and Wade brought this up, that with SmackDown not being on another network, even under
the umbrella
of NBC Universal, they're going to be right there at USA, that there's not going to be we need to favor Raw, we need to favor USA, that's the stronger network. It should be that there should be more autonomy or more given to that. But it's also going to be hard for all these years of Raw and SmackDown to get fans out of the mindset of Raw is the A show and SmackDown is the B show. So that's, you know, are they going to try to do that, number one? And you think they would, and then how do they do that? But let me ask you this. You're a big wrestling fan. You like watching wrestling. Sunday night, let's say a Sunday night comes, it's WWE pay-per-view, three hours, maybe 4 hours watching the pre-show. The next night's Monday Night Raw, three hours and 10 minutes conservatively, that show. Then the next night after that, live, all these shows are live. Then the next night after that, SmackDown, 2 hours.
Are you going to be jonesing on three days? That's fine. I mean, that's not the issue. Like, as far as like them watching them three nights back to back to back, And, you know, giving up 8 hours to and whatever. That's not a problem. The problem is my TiVo has 2 tuners. So I can only record 2 things at once. And it's already pretty packed on Tuesday with Flash and like New Girl and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and other, you know, shows. So in the fall, since I don't watch it, I watched SmackDown the last 2 weeks because summer program, you know, stuff's over. So I've watched it the last 2 weeks because it's recorded. I've actually caught it live, but it's there and it's recording. Between September, you know, during the fall, during first run stuff, I have no idea. It's going to be some sacrifices.
That's right.
Not watch first run important SmackDown episodes in favor of, like, you know, so I can record New Girl or whatever, like on Fox on Tuesday. So that's a good problem to have, okay.
Well, yeah, and I think people, you know, all these kind of things, these kind of schedule changes and this kind of emphasis on a live breaking news, I guess, or, you know, breaking storyline angles on SmackDown is, you know, people are going to have appointment television changed for themselves if they have that on Tuesday nights, and lots of people do. I have been waiting, Travis, my entire life to say these words. We'll be right back after these messages.
As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday morning wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member.
And we're back. Travis, boy, yeah. What a thrill that was. I never got to throw to commercials. I've done radio and radio stations and all that kind of stuff, and FM and AM back years ago, and I never got to throw to the commercial. There was always a professional host to do that. Now I got to throw to some plugola, some hype. That was great. That was a thrill. So you ready to take some phone calls?
Yeah, let's talk to some people.
Let's do it. Darrell from Georgia, you're a VIP member. We appreciate you, and you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing today, Bruce? How you doing today, Trail?
What's up, man?
Okay. Well, I'm going to just come out and go ahead and get to what I want to hear y'all discuss about. And the brand distinction, I guess I'll be one of the ones on the hated side until they prove me wrong, because I just feel like this is another continuation of a wool or a trick that Vince is continuing to play on the fan base as itself, because just the
it has nothing to do with you or us as a fan base. Get that out of your head. It has nothing to do with us, our enjoyment, in that sense, like our enjoyment of the show, nothing. It has everything to do with maximizing, I mean, as it should, it's a business, but, you know, maximizing bottom line and things like that.
Yes, but Travis,
but
the fan's enjoyment, doesn't he maximize his bottom line? I mean, aren't those two things, like, connected?
You think, but that's not exactly, you know, Vince's M.O. as of as of late. Excuse me. So
it's and me as a
like maximizing the bottom line by doing this, not being creative and driving content or driving people to your content. It's skirting or doing these shortcuts and propping this division up to me, you know, that kind of stuff.
I just feel like me as a consumer, that's none of my business as the, your bottom line and your driving, because I'm not part of that business and I have no control in how you figure out your what's going in your pocket. The only thing I can speak on is my enjoyment of the product and give my opinion on the enjoyment of the product. I just say,
well, Terrell, what is it about the roster distinction? I gotta get my jargon right here, but what is it about the roster distinction that you don't like before they even start? What is it that you think that you're not a fan of? Specifically,
because
what's wrong?
They're gonna give me two shows, and let's say if they go like how you just said with the two top guys that's supposed to lead in the show, it's John Cena and Roman Reigns. You're going to give me the same mold that they've been telling everybody for years, that only people who can be true WWE stars are people who 6'4", big, muscular, non-goat face, wet hair type of people. And those are the only guys who can be considered stars. And you're just going to continue to give me the indie darlings or the flippy floppy guys with poor storylines that'll never help them be considered a star, because the storyline is what draw in so-called casual fans to make you want to follow this guy who giving you in-ring action and see can they build up to be a star, because you're not going to do that, because that exposed your top of the card on who you say is a star, because they probably can't hold up to do the same thing unless they in the ring with the top five talents in the world. But the rest of the 365 days, when it's time for them to take the lead, they can't take the lead. I can't say that no longer about John Cena, because he just proved that he could do that with the U.S. title when he was putting on good matches with almost everybody he came up with. But that whole mold of itself, that only people who big, 6'4", can be stars, and that's the only people who we give storylines to, and we just going to give the hardcores their indie darlings and not give them a storyline, but just let them go out there and kill themselves just for entertainment purposes, but furthering themselves.
I think that's a bit of a thought. And it holds some water, but I think that's a bit of a dated argument.
Because
AJ Styles has had plenty storylines to be a part of, that he's been a part of in 6 months, and 5 months he's been around.
But what is
the storyline?
Somebody asked you,
wet hair
storyline?
Guys, muscular guys getting pushes and getting top programs. This isn't like 2009 or something where that's like where you could say that and like yep and be completely right. I think that's all.
I see, but you know, you asked what's the storyline with AJ Styles. Where usually when you're reading a book and you know it go off a story, you have two options that you can pick, or you can assume where they're going. When you come up and at the end of the day they're no longer in the main event picture or fighting for a title, and you can't say, well, what is he going? Is he doing a redemption story or whatever? You just don't know where they're going. Then that wasn't a story. That was just being a placeholder. And that's what I was just basically saying, that most of it is in the first place.
Okay, well, and he's not going to win the title, and he gets 2 months and two pay-per-view main events. Jesus Christ, a placeholder? I mean, that's a little more than a placeholder. It's he did his program, and now he's, you know, he's supposed to feud with the guy for 6 months, and then you'd be complaining about, can we get something new? I mean, I don't know.
A lot of what caused all this talk this week, this stuff is intriguing, and we'll see. I mean, Wade and I talked on Bruce Mitchell audio show that's already available for download about having Raw have a distinctive flavor, being about some sort of thing, something, and SmackDown being that way too, and this would give them that chance to do that. But I think that people who thought that Roman Reigns was going to come to an end, and this was going to be more about the Balor Club and the Shield, or this is going to be more about AJ Styles ascending, it was just they needed someone for Roman Reigns to look good with, and AJ Styles did a great job of that. Kind of maybe too great a job. I mean, it's kind of scary watching some of that, but I mean he was really good, and I think that and he came through for them. I think he elevated himself even though he got beat. I mean, the separate argument of the Roman Reigns era should come to an end now. You know, that's a separate argument, and I would not make that argument just because I think that you've got to see things through, and I think they will. And but hopefully the other thing about the brand split is it will give more of, for lack of a better term, new acts from NXT, acts from NXT and in WWE that came, you know, that had experience in other places in the indie scene and in TNA and all that. Hopefully there'll be more room for them to be in significant storylines. But Darrell's right, if they're crappy storylines, it doesn't matter. And that's definitely there. Appreciate the call, Darrell. Lots to think about, lots to see as we come up with this. Let's go to New Jersey and Kylan from New Jersey, another longtime caller. Appreciate you. Kylan, what you got for us?
Hi, Bruce. Hey, Travis. Good to talk to you guys again. My question for this week is on the brand or roster distinction. But my question will hopefully provide a different take on it. My question revolves around the announced teams. Will WWE perhaps go back to a two-man announced team for shows, say Mauro Ranallo and the King, or Michael Cole and Corey Graves, or Byron Saxton and JBL, or anything interesting like that?
Oh, God, Saxton and JBL as a duo, you're just begging for JBL to just dominate that entire, however long that entire broadcast.
Either Byron Saxton grows up and becomes a man, or he becomes squashed like a bug, and there's not going to be any, they did that, there wouldn't be any middle ground.
Yeah. I like Cole and Graves. I mean, it's just, but they're not going to break up probably Cole and JBL, and even Cole, JBL and Saxton on Raw. It's what will they do with SmackDown? I'd like to get the King out of there.
Why?
I just don't think he's good anymore. I think he's just, as for a long time, he's been a shell of himself. As for the announcer, you know, that he's just there, especially on SmackDown. Maybe it'll be different now with more emphasis on SmackDown. It's live. It's got first run stars all the time, every week. But I just think it's, he's just so corny. I mean, he's just sitting there in those stupid-ass shirts with those stupid-ass lines, and they're just weak, old lines. Like, even if they're new, like, current, like, you know, you take something old and make it new.
You know, he's starting to dress like, I mean, how he dresses is starting to really remind me of 4 o'clock at the dining hall. You know, get in early. I mean, it definitely has that feel to it. And if Vince McMahon starts thinking like that, one of the reasons, I mean, there's some other reasons too, but one of the reasons why we saw it, and boy, it went down the list, you know, it went down the list as the events of the week unfolded, but, you know, Ric Flair being taken out of the act with Charlotte, and one of the reasons probably was that he's 65 years old and looks it, and Vince McMahon is not a fan of older people on his television. Sometimes he's not a fan of himself for that reason.
Right.
On his own television.
You have a daughter dad act, and you're like, you're too old. Like, well, I'm a father of a 30-year-old.
It is kind of.
It's as if old people don't exist in the real world. Like, you know, old people are, you know, around, and people look at them and see them every day.
I mean, they're here. And also it's like if you have some older people, then the younger people look young in contrast. I mean, it's like everybody's the same age. But anyway, there are more factors than that. But that might affect Jerry Lawler, and the fact it did affect him going leaving the Raw broadcast team where he'd been such an important part of it for all those years. And you know, there was the hope and the thought that Mario Ranallo would boost up Lawler's act to give him something new to work with. And
I think I think he has.
Yeah.
Like, King's much better than he was when it was him and Saxon and Cole or whatever the combo was 6-8 months ago.
Yeah.
But still, he's still the King. He's still same cadence, same reaction, same – just King. He's not great. Not even good.
Yeah. To me, the interesting part, Kylan brings up a very good point, which is what happens with the announce teams. I mean, really, what happens to differentiate Raw from SmackDown? And do they change looks of the show? Do they do anything production wise? Do they change production styles? Do they? And I don't think they will. But announcing team is a big part of that. Vince McMahon is going to have his fingerprints more. His voice in the headset more of Mario Ranallo, and Ranallo has benefited. I mean, he's very knowledgeable, and he's benefited from having some freedom to call matches. Is Vince McMahon hearing him, and that emphasis on SmackDown, is that going to help Mario Ranallo? Is it going to hinder his ability to do his job? We'll see. I mean, I think that's one of the more interesting things too that's coming up with this. So.
Yeah, I think asking for like a Ranallo Corey Graves pairing on SmackDown is great and has as much sense, especially if they go with the different vibe, the NXT type vibe for SmackDown. That would just be ideal to have those two guys on there. But it's one of those things where even if the building was open on Friday night and you could still put 50,000 people in Cowboy Stadium for that NXT Friday, that Dallas takeover, you're not going to do. Triple H isn't going to do that. You just want to show up the old man, and you definitely don't want to have this this 33-year-old tattoo guy, really really cool and. Contemporary. I think it's one of those things that Vince would just really, really find annoying, even if it was working.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
we'll see, dealing
with a sociopath. I say it as terrible as it sounds. My non-doctor diagnosis is you're dealing with a sociopath, and you don't want to set those kinds of people off. And there's certain things you do to tiptoe around them. And not having Corey Graves and having Ranallo and King not saying, okay, do what you want with the announced team. It's the matches and the booking that's really going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, and there's always this emphasis on youth, even though their demographics show their audience is a hugely scaled older and much older. And Vince McMahon has that part of him that wants to.
And I'm still not old enough as the median age for Raw. It's like 38 or something.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. So promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member one week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Now, did you hear what I just heard? We're going to have a staff meeting. Travis?
About what?
We're going to have a staff. I'm going to have to call a staff meeting. Did you hear what I just heard? I mean, I'm the senior Torch columnist. And yeah, in the list of the plugs, the editor-publisher, Wade Keller, started off with The Fix, Todd
Martin. I do three flagship shows, and he just, you know, Wednesday and the weekend. I mean, it's just, I took it as he was going in chronological order. Midweek, weekend, end of the weekend.
Yeah, but right now, we're in the weekend, so chronological order would be...
Wait, was that a live read by Wade, or was that a recording?
Huh?
Was that a live read? Did Wade
no, the
pop
point I make is there's not chronological order when it repeats over and over again in a pattern. That's not chronological order. That's not why we did it. I'm going to have to... You know, we've had these staff meetings before when I call them, and they're like, I'm just... I don't know. I may have to talk to my agent. That was upsetting.
I don't show up for this very reason.
Okay. So let's return to like normalcy at least a little bit. By the way, if you want to call in, if you're listening live, 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828. We're going to go to, we'll go to 801 area code. You're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
This is Derek from Utah.
Hi, Derek.
Yeah, I'm excited about the brand split. I think there's a lot of intrigue, and when I look back at the brand split that was in the 2000s, there was just as much good as there was bad. I think one of the most promising aspects of the brand split this go-around is their advertising, that there's going to be distinct writing teams, and just watching SmackDown recently, I usually enjoy it more than Raw. I think it's a lot more simple. I think it's more wrestling-based and more match-based. So if they keep some semblance of that format, I think it'll be a success.
Travis?
Yeah. I don't remember how – I think it was there were distinct writing teams
there was the heat that came when that one little period of time when SmackDown was drawing more viewers than Raw with Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio and Paul Heyman at the helm, and there was some bad feelings about that. There were some reasons beyond just those two stars and Paul Heyman's work, but Paul Heyman's work was good. That's there. I think there's a concern, though, that with Vince McMahon – having the brand split as his brand new project, as his brand new passion within WWE, that what the caller described, what Dan described as a simpler show, a little more room to breathe, more wrestling based, a better show, that it might be more jammed into because McMahon is interested in doing that. So that very well could be. I mean,
are there any chances, Bruce? And if so, what is the percentage that this is the time where they can go take Raw back to 2 hours?
That's not going to happen. I mean, the thing for WWE, and they really, you know, and again, Wade talked about this on the audio we recorded, that the long-term – thinking long-term, Vince McMahon should have foreseen that this was going to be a tremendous drag on the ability of fans to watch, of casual fans to watch, of everybody, the three-hour format. But there was a lot of money, enough money to make everything profitable. And, you know, Wall Street would have looked analysis that they'd have heard, and USA would have been mad at them and all that. USA wanted that extra hour. They were willing to pay for it. They were willing to pay a lot of money for it. And so it's like, you know, the analogy I used was it was akin to, you know, I'll give you $1 million, Travis, but you're gonna live 20 years less. You know, you're not gonna, you know, you're gonna roll into, what do you do? Well, maybe you forego the $1 million because that $1 million is gonna hasten your demise. And that's where I think he should have. I think being publicly traded hurt because of that, because of the short term emphasis on everything. But they're not going to change that 3 hours. And if USA and WWE both decide to change that 3 hours, it's going to be because of the failure of this. The failure of
it. But it's failing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's failing
quick enough.
You're going to take away half of the roster, and you're going to still keep it at 3 hours. Like it's going to fail even harder.
Yeah. So that's
SmackDown's going to become the better show like instantly if it's this tight 2 hour show with, again, Class A level stars and storyline. Who's going to want to sit around for half a roster for three hours and 10 minutes every Monday with less people?
Well, I mean, you know, that's
the concern. It just seems like the as far as like saving face, like it's like this is the moment where you go, oh, you don't. Don't expect us to stay at 3 hours. We're minusing half, 50% of our roster. So, duly, we're not going to – it just seems like the most common sense thing to do. And not doing it seems like most boneheaded thing to do.
Yeah. Well, we can, but, yeah. We'll see. I mean, we'll see with that. Cool. Let's do some moving. Mike from Brooklyn, you're up next on the – well, if I click the right button. Mike from Brooklyn, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, this is Romeo from New York, actually.
Oh, sorry. All right, I just saw 718.
That's all right.
What's up, bro?
I wanted to talk about the Charlotte promo from Raw. She's got to stop letting the crowd fluster her. I think that's the second time on a live Raw where – the crowd has sort of made her either forget her lines or mumble her words. I remember at the Hall of Fame when she got booed, she, got offended by that. But other than that, and they could do without the wishing you were dead stuff, especially on a PG show. But
yeah, I think it's unrealistic.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, I think it's real. I think they hit that note every time, and it just kind of falls flat. It's like your attitude. You're firing your dad, whatever it is. Beyonce didn't tell her father that, she wished he was dead. She fired him. And that's enough. There's enough heat there. So, you don't have to hit the same, they hit the same note with Dusty and Cody Rhodes and all that. It's just,
Stephanie told Freddie Blassie that days before the Invasion pay-per-view,
right.
Or maybe it was the later at the Survivor Series. Yeah, she's like, WWF is going to be gone, just like you soon, dead. Like, oh, God. But just the Charlotte, that whole thing was garbage, I thought. Like, not, I feel sorry for Flair, or here goes WWE again, knowing exactly what is wrong with how they run their company, but throwing it in your face anyway. Like, no. If you have a family, children, you're going to have to sacrifice that. You're going to be a terrible spouse. You're going to be a terrible parent. That's just how it is because you just don't have the time. You can be the most – when you're there 2 days out of 7, and you're living out of a suitcase in your own crib,
you can, fine, you can spend all the time, that time you can, but still, it's just, you can't make up for the time you're not there and your kids resenting you and your wife or your husband, you know, possibly, you know, just getting resentful, stepping out on you, all kinds of stuff you can imagine. But here they go, throwing that in your face again. Like, no, we are the king. We are the absolute don of broken family. And here we're going to just throw it in your face again. So beyond, besides that part being like garbage and just terrible to put your talent in that situation again, time and time again, the execution of it, Charlotte was terrible. I'm not talking about the flustered by the crowd. That probably was the best part because at least that was real. It was her, like, reacting naturally, whether it was, you know, whatever. It was her. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to hate her, like, ooh, Charlotte, you're saying all these terrible things, or be sympathetic with her as she kind of cried. But 2 seconds later, she's mocking Rick, bro, are you crying? Are you crying? Like, well, you just look like you were about to cry 2 seconds ago. I was totally confused by that promo. It came out of absolute nowhere. They don't. How it happened to, you know, building and dropping hints over the course of 6 weeks. I'm not talking about 6 months. Think 4 to 6 weeks to show Charlotte's frustration more than her. You know, I think when he took his jacket off to confront Natty or somebody in the last month, she yelled, like, please stop, you know, whatever. But that's just not enough for 0 to 60 real quick. It was bad for multiple reasons, execution and content.
Well, you know, there was no the other side for. I'm not talking about real life and all that. And actually, Flair spent more time with her than
she's
any of
the one that got all the attention.
Yeah, she's the one that got all the attention. But you know, he didn't have any rebuttal. I'm talking about storyline wise. So if he didn't have any rebuttal and she's saying all that, there would be some sympathy towards her. You'd think she's a jerk, but you think she's damaged because here's her father pretending like he cares about her and micromanaging her career when he wasn't there for her before, and that wasn't all that heelish. It was interesting. You're definitely right about I thought that it should have been something where if you're doing it as a heel, that Ric Flair is becoming more about act like a champion, and then something goes wrong that's her fault that he's involved in but not his, and she gets beaten or something, and then she blames him unfairly. That was always – the heels always blamed, you know, whoever you're trying to get the sympathy on, and you're trying to get sympathy on Rick so that Charlotte can, you know, so you hate Charlotte even more, then that's what you do. They do any of that. It's like they just kind of was so fast.
As a company, as a corporation, do you hear Disney talking about the kids that drown at their parks or the wages that they don't pay and the health insurance that they don't get? Like, you do everything as a company to put big dumb smile on your face and then put on the front of we're as perfect of a company as a corporation, as a business, as people running a business as possible. You don't put all your terrible laundry just right on Front Street and try to incorporate that as it's when you're top down, it comes from the top, and when the top is a sociopath, these types of things happen, and they continue to happen.
There's definitely
they
something to
that. Embarrass themselves, and it's all self-imposed embarrassment. It's not a scandal, something they got caught doing. It's, oh, we're going to go on TV and bang a corpse in a casket. Oh, we're going to go on TV and expose the fact that we have, you know, our people are broke and losing money and terrible as investments, and they're slaves to us. We're going to go on TV and expose the fact that we're the dons of broken families as an industry, as a company. It's absurd. They take this glee in it, like Vince is backstage, like giggling in his stupid old man pants,
at the fact that she has to go out there and say these terrible things about her dad, and he's got to cry.
Yeah, I do appreciate this is kind of parenthetical, but I do appreciate the fact that you referenced the necrophilia angle without talking about Katie Vick is alive. Our friend Britt Whitmire, who co-hosts sometimes with me, his awfully named wrestling podcast. So,
and that really doesn't even fit because that's just a stupid. That's a storyline. That's an angle. That's a bit on TV. This isn't. I'm going to come out as Stephanie McMahon, tell you exactly how I think about you and feel about you for real, as fans of this stuff and how much mouth breathers and waterheads I really think you are. But then going in always using Coleman and cancer kids and, all that crap. You can be a C all you want, but then, oh, no, that's just my character. I'm a bad girl, and, vote for which slap you like.
Yeah, vote for which slap you like. Let's go to VIP member Daniel. I'm somewhere in the Midwest. I forget. I don't know. Daniel, what's up on the PW Torch Livecast?
Tornado Alley, man. We can't avoid them here in Kansas right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know whether I should be allowed on. Travis is rolling, man. I hate to interrupt.
Daniel, I'm about the VIP members. Travis is about rolling on, getting on a roll. But I'm about the VIP members. I'm here for service.
If I'm invited to the next staff meeting, I'll defend you on that, Bruce. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That's why I said.
I was going to call about something else, but I kind of want to pile on here. I guess neither one of you guys happened to see this next episode of The Ultimate Fighter.
I did not. No.
Okay, so there's this guy on the show. I haven't watched it that carefully, but, he cheated on his wife or whatever, and his wife is, going to divorce him, and he's all heartbroken because he doesn't want to leave the show, but they never let anybody off the show, and Dana's like, this is such a unique situation. We're going to fly you home for 3 days, and hopefully you can straighten out your life and come back and be a star and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm thinking, okay, UFC is going to sell for somewhere around $4 billion, and they're capable on the show they control of building their brand and making them seem to be reasonably decent people, and that probably creates some goodwill for them. I don't know what this show's demographics are, but half the fighters are female, half the fighters are male, so I think that might have a little different demographic than WWE. And that just struck me as I'm listening to Travis talk, and he's saying a lot of the things I was going to jump in on. I mean, I watched that thing Monday night, and when Charlotte said, that's enough, Dad, or whatever, I was like, ooh, that's going to be a good teaser for, 5 or 6 weeks down the road when she finally has enough and really thinks she's too big for her britches. And instead, they ruined the entire angle in 5 minutes, presumably because they're still upset that they didn't get away with the low-class crap stuff they did about Reed Flair last year. That's my impression of it. And they want to do as much as they could to, put her in another awkward situation that she didn't handle very well. That's why it appeared to me she was crying. It wasn't this tremendous acting.
Yeah. No, she was crying because she loves her father and knows all that weirdness of doing it, right in public. And she's a wrestler and doing wrestling acting. She's not an actress. So.
I know she's new to the act, but why have Dana Brooke out there?
Because they love Dana Brooke. It's like, get her in there.
I mean,
they
I don't blame them, but as far as if you're going to do that, relatively hardcore, at least verbal stuff, angle, she was not needed. At least in the, just keep her out of the shot. She's just standing in the background, literally, just kind of like a dummy, just because it was not about her in the slightest.
She wasn't
nodding her head like, that's right, Charlie, you tell him. Because they're not best friends, she can't sit there and act like, yep, you've been telling me these stories for months and years, and finally, girl, you getting it off your chest. No. She just showed up last week. Down there, whatever. It's so much wrong with that angle they did.
so much. Like, important stuff, not just, oh, it's a bad angle, wrestling nonsense. No, just like real life consequences, employer-employee relationship, father-daughter stuff, more, you know, locker room morale kind of stuff that you're just wiping their asses with.
Let's take time for this commercial message about the PWTorch.com coming to your area.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Let's move on. Another caller. Let's go to Rich in Pittsburgh. Rich, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Evening, gentlemen. I see you guys enrolling, so I'll try to be quick. I'm not sure if Jason's ahead of me. So, first of all, Bruce, I want to say Team Bruce. I don't know why Travis tries to say the negative things he says about you offline. It's just uncalled for.
Wait a minute. What is this about? Travis, we'll talk after
the show. I have no idea. I've never met this man in my life.
And I know that's not true, too.
The things he said about you with Preacher, I couldn't believe it. Oh,
my God. I see. All right. See, I knew that was coming, too. I got on about it because, like, I read Preacher on AMC. I read Preacher from the first issue, bought every trade paperback, and now I have them in hardcover. One of my favorite – I'm a big comic book guy, and it's one of my favorite comic book things of all time. And also, it is so up Travis Bryant's alley. Words can't describe it because, you know, as a sacrilegious heathen as he is, there is no more sacrilegious material, funny and just on target than Preacher. So, yeah. That's okay. I'll check that out. I'll have my lawyer check it out.
Oh yeah, I think you should. I should. And if you get a chance, I don't know if you have read it before, but if you like tennis, have you read The Boys?
Oh, I read all that too.
I was trying to explain to Travis how much Ennis hates superheroes as much as he does God. So that was a good combination.
Yeah.
But my wrestling question for you guys is when it comes to injuries and everything I heard earlier, Darrell mentioning like this is some sort of scheme or something to confuse people. My thing with the roster split or whatever they're calling it is, this is like a football team that had a roster of 150 when you only need 60 to play. So what are you going to do with those extra guys on the bench? You're going to have more Cody Rhodeses, more Sandow, more guys complaining about TV time if you didn't split it the way they are. And I just want to hear what you guys think about that. Have a good one.
You start another team, Travis?
Yeah, you start another team. Except I don't think a ton of those guys, I mean, you have a few here and there, but nobody's really complaining. Nobody has the balls to complain.
Well,
and
I mean, they are behind.
Understanding that if you do have balls, then there goes your paycheck and your opportunity. I get it. You're built to be ballless. But, you know, I don't see too many people complaining, at least openly, maybe to each other, but who cares in that instance.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a lawyer, you can be in the Marine 3. Have you seen the casting for that?
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Explain to or tell us.
The Marine 3 class is basically like most of the WWE mid-cards. It's Dolph and who is it? The Usos' wife and...
Yeah, I was about to say, what about the women? That's really, like, the shocking part. Like, Maryse and Naomi are going to be in this movie. Like, Maryse sucks. Like, as a person with a microphone in front of her, as that has nothing to do with her accent or nothing. She's terrible. Like, just, like, stand there and, you know, look great. But when you put a mic in her face, it's like, ugh. I can't imagine what she's going to do. I guess when you have 800 takes, you can, you know, it's better. But Maryse in a movie? I mean, or, I mean, you know, I can imagine. But, you know, Hollywood, you know, movie for a release, DVD.
Yeah. Maybe she'll maybe she'll grow into it. Let's go to another VIP member, Boris from Chicago. Boris, what's going on?
From the brand split, how heavily scripted this thing going to be? Is they going to loosen up? And let the, you know what I'm saying?
No, they're going to do what they do. It's going to be scripted. It's going to be – they haven't changed their approach to – they just have two creative teams scripting a lot.
And if they were just going to get bullet points on promos now, they're going to still do what they do.
I was thinking with the movie industry, you know, Batman versus Superman was supposed to make over $1 billion, and due to the fact to what – you know, they had the A-list stars – you know, the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you know, they had the A-list stars, but I consider the way it was, I guess, story was so terrible.
They had A-list characters and A-list stars to play them.
And Marvel has, right now, they don't have all the characters, but they're using all the B-list and C-list stars, and in their movie made, a billion in 24 days. And now we're waiting on to see what X-Men does. And all these stories are based on the characters, you know what I'm saying? They got X-Men has, you know, Liv Mond. She wanted to play Psylocke as Psylocke is supposed to be. And I'm just looking at how they get one chance each movie to make bring in the money and do it right. If not, the movie, you know, it bombs or whatnot. WWE, on the other hand, they get chance after chance after chance. I was thinking with you guys, what will it take for WWE either to go out, you know, to actually go under, like DC, Marvel bankruptcy, then it came back, you know.
Well, so
pretty much,
you know, I'm a comic book guy and I'm a wrestling guy, and I don't think your analogy is quite there. For one thing, with the Marvel Captain America Civil War, there's a lot of momentum in that franchise, and it's not that they have B-list stars. Robert Downey Jr. isn't a B-list star, neither is Scarlett Johansson, but they have the right people in the roles, and they've got a lot of creative.
Or Hemsworth, you know, so
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
On.
I mean, they've got a lot of creative momentum going with it, and just frankly, their movies have been better, and I think it goes to what Boris was saying about stories. Telling stories correctly is really important. I mean, that's, you know, and building, if there's ever, you know, you want to see a wrestling storyline being built that's not in wrestling, it's the Marvel Universe movies as they slowly build the big match between Thanos and the Avengers. And that's where everything is going, and they're building all these up stories.
8 years for it too,
and they can making you anticipate it, making you wait for it, and you know they're pacing it out right. But that's definitely that's definitely there. Let's go to our friend Scott from New Jersey. Scott, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Happy Friday, happy Memorial Day weekend, guys. How are you tonight?
Yes, that last.
Two quick things, guys. Just in regards to the brand split. I tuned in late, so if you covered it, I apologize. First thing is, I just wondered, do you think it's going to be like an NFL, NBA-style draft that we'll see on the network? Because I really think that could really drive subscriptions, guys.
I hadn't thought about it on the network. I hadn't thought about it.
How do you do an NFL and NBA-style draft?
Well, I'm thinking, like, I'm just thinking that they have who they feel would be the top, like, you know, the top guys that would be picked sitting there, like, you know, as crazy as this.
Oh, you mean
the
visual,
really,
not the actual format of it. Like, is that what you mean?
You know what you could do? I don't think you can do it network exclusive. The USA Network's going to want that on their network, and it's not going to – and for people who don't have WWE Network, it's going to confuse them. But on the other hand, maybe what they could do is what, say, you know, a lot of places do now is, you know, show the main draft on Raw. Then on the WWE Network, you have the wrestlers sitting in the back reacting to it. You have another channel where someone's analyzing or someone's talking about what's coming up next during the time where on Raw you're having matches in between. And, you know, that there could be some synergy in that. They might do that. I wouldn't be shocked at it.
I think, guys, the timing, too, when you really think about it, that is that week before is the deadest time of the sports calendar, because that's the Major League Baseball All-Star game that week. So that, you know, they really could get some publicity and coverage with it. Because, again, there's nothing. Like that Monday, the Monday before, that I guess the last regular Raw, I guess that would be the 11th. That's the All-Star week. And that'll be a night where there's nothing. Home Run Derby is the only thing on. And then that Wednesday, when you think about it, that's like the ESPY. Like, they're doing the timing is well thought out, guys. It's a real dead sports time. And
it's either
well
thought out
really...
or a happy accident.
I think one happy accident. You're right. I think that accident, you know, when we know about things.
Well thought out, WWE
get...
just doesn't tend to pop up in the same sentence.
But when Wade's saying, like, here's one thing I agree with Wade. First off, PW Torch coverage this week has been just insane, guys. Great job. But it's been the coverage, as Wade said, when you think about how things are going, with him hearing it last January about when they initially moved to USA. I remember him doing there were a couple Wade Keller hotlines, him talking about it. And it really makes sense. And I agree with it. Maybe it's just a happy accident, because when you think about Mauro Ranallo, like, there's so much that can help differentiate. And I have to say, I think a giraffe, like you said, or maybe, you know what, do the first, I just don't know if you do it on Raw, or do you do it on Raw and on SmackDown, because you don't want one to be deemed even more special to have the draft on the Monday night show and not on the Tuesday night show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The only thing is the first live show, whatever, July 19th, is obviously going to be after the draft has already happened. If you could somehow go live, that first live SmackDown is the draft, that could possibly be it. And you can hype it up on Monday. Tomorrow's our draft. And then the SmackDown, tomorrow at 8 on the USA. Actually, I think that could be a way to go about it. But I think they just want to have the roster set for July 19th, 18th and 18th Raw, 19th SmackDown, and hit the ground running. But yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks, Scott, for the call. Let's finish up with our friend Jason from Australia. Jason, welcome to the Friday Livecast.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce and Travis. Well, I'll get right into it. Yeah, I've caught up before. I'm a massive fan of the brand split and the potential that it has for utilizing talent that hasn't been utilized correctly. But I think the most important thing they need to focus on, and I know this has been touched on, like, I hope someone there, preferably Vince and the higher-ups, they have, like, a piece of paper or whatever, and they have at the top points of difference, because that's what's going to make this thing successful. They need a number of points of difference between Raw and SmackDown. I fall in the minority. I don't like having one world champion. I like having two champions, one for each show, because I think invariably what's going to happen is that if you only have one world champion, most of the time they're going to end up on Raw, and SmackDown's going to be forgotten about. But if you have two world champions, and I don't even like having, say, world champions per se, you've got an NXT champion, why can't you have a Raw heavyweight champion and a SmackDown heavyweight champion, utilizing the name of each show in the name of the title? Because I like that from a promotional point of view. I like the language being used, our Raw heavyweight champion, SmackDown heavyweight champion, getting people used to saying the name of the show in the name of the title. So when they're doing interviews, you know, I like that theory. The other thing is that I would like to see, and I know JR brought this up yesterday briefly, he said he doesn't like the idea of the tag team division being exclusive to one show. I kind of like that. I like the idea of the tag team division being exclusive for Raw. You have 3 hours to fill. If you split up that tag team division, you're probably going to have five tag teams on each show, and you're going to go through feuds in the space of a couple of months. But if Raw's point of difference to SmackDown is that that's the home of the tag team division, you could have 12 tag teams, 24 talent exclusive to that show. That's a good way to fill up TV time and give that point of difference. Meanwhile, SmackDown could be the home of the Intercontinental Championship for the young up-and-coming workhorses. So now all of a sudden you're separating the two brands. So I don't know about you, Bruce and Travis, but I like the idea of the tag team division being exclusive to Raw, where it's a point of difference.
Well, I would like to see, and this is a little bit bigger picture than even that, but it fits right into it. I'd like to see Raw be about something that SmackDown isn't about. And if that one of those things is that they're exclusive with the tag team, with the tag team's championship as part of the show, not the overarching, not the overwhelming theme. In other words, it's not, Raw's the tag team and SmackDown is the singles place. I'm just, but yeah, I could see that. And then, and then do that with the divas. Kind of would need, not the divas, excuse me, the women would need a place like that until they've built up more that until they built up as acts, as over personalities on the show and over wrestlers on the show, more of the women than they have right now. They've got a good base, and you can start building from that. But yeah, I could definitely see that. Travis, what's your comments?
And that's tough because I get the logic that that's the longer show, that's the 3-hour show, and it makes sense. But there's no, and if you have a U.S. title on one and an IC title on the other, well, then what do you do with the women? Do you have them exclusively to SmackDown and they never get to, you know, be promoted on the flagship? Do they float? And you have the one title float between two shows. I just think you can run into some trouble. I'm not sure how I feel about the title, the main title splitting. It was okay having two titles, but it's also been really awesome the last 3 years having one champion, one world champion. And to be the champion of a show is no way Vince McMahon is going to call his champion the champion of a television show. Even his television show.
It's his television champion. Show in his universe. It's his.
Yeah, no, he wants to be the champion of the world or the champion of the company, the show of Raw, of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Now, we call them, and even JBL, you know, the announcers and stuff, will call them the SmackDown champion, the Raw champion. But officially, I don't think that's ever going to come about.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I can understand that, but I actually think it works because you call him the WWE NXT champion. There's no reason why you can't call him the WWE Raw Heavyweight Champion of SmackDown thereafter. And the reason why I say that, before they had the WWE champion and the world champion, that was just confusing. They swapped them over. I mean, what's the difference between being a WWE champion and a world champion? I mean, there is no difference. It was just confusing. They just couldn't come up with another word besides world. But from my point of view, I like the idea of the name of the show being in the name of the title. Raw's struggling for ratings. SmackDown is. I like that instant identification of the name of the show in the title. And the other thing is they need to get away from calling Raw the flagship. If SmackDown's got a chance, it needs to be on the level playing field. And as far as the women is concerned, You're right, Travis. What do you do with the women? Do you have the women's division as the only division that floats across? Is Charlotte the exclusive champion that floats across both brands? Bruce, I mean, I've always thought about, and I would never go down that path, is that now that you're building up the women's division, do you toy with the idea of maybe making the first hour more about the women's wrestling like WCW did with the Cruiserweight? Now, that's run with a bit of danger. You might see a decrease in ratings. You may not. But what I like about that in theory is that, look, and work with me here, if you make the first hour more exclusive to women's wrestling on Raw, do you all of a sudden open yourself up perhaps to different advertising? Do you have a chance for Bayley to be that top star between the 8 and 9 slot? Do you get a whole different audience? Can you go out there and market yourself? Stephanie McMahon, right, as a brand ambassador, saying, we've got 8 to 9 exclusive to women. What type of avenues does that open up? And that puts less pressure on the men.
Well, I think in a long term, in a long game, that would be a something to look at, to try to continue to build the women's division, try to get some exclusive, advertising deals with them and then set them off a part of the show. But I don't think we're going to see that in the beginning or anytime soon because, number one, I don't know that Vince McMahon is all that confident in the ability. They're not there yet. And then the other thing is it's always been, you know, there's a formula, a 20-minute McMahon family, world championship interview at the beginning of the show, but they've always, there's never been, you could count on women in the second hour, but not in the third hour. You could count on the Intercontinental title in the first hour or something like that. They've always kind of mixed up the format. So I suspect that's what they'll do. And that's another free way to differentiate the brands is maybe one, maybe Raw is more structured like that and maybe SmackDown is more freeform. I mean, that's certainly something they could do, but down the line, if you get them over enough, then you could identify which division, women's division or whatever it is, that that pulls a certain demographic and then try to sell advertisers on selling to that demographic specifically.
Here's my prediction. A year from now, Bayley is the face of SmackDown.
You know, I she has that potential, and if they're doing a great job creatively, that could definitely be a possibility. I worry about that, and we've seen, you know, it seems like everybody that's come over from NXT has done less creatively in WWE or in the ring in WWE. You know, look at Charlotte and Natalya than they
I'm
have.
I'm just
in
thinking about.
I hope you're right.
Ryan Ward, you know, who produced
That's
her
true.
and wrote for her down in NXT, under his creative team's guidance and tutelage, she's going to be the face of SmackDown. Like if she gets to SmackDown, that's going to happen.
You got to remember, he's not going to have the autonomy he had in NXT because he's going to have Vince McMahon wanting to know every detail and every part of it. And you know, we don't know. We know what Vince McMahon thinks about the Vaudevillains, same thing I do. But we don't know what he thinks exactly about Bayley, and we'll see. Does he see that opportunity to break out a whole, you know, to break out a whole new act and a whole new to a whole new audience? And
she's
there with her.
Him being the kid act more comfortable with that, I don't see how he doesn't see Bayley come out, hug Izzy, hug another, you know, young lady in the Bayley shirt, hug other people, and don't just see money. Like, oh, this is, can't wait to, you know, get my hands on her.
I mean, he might very well, particularly if he remembers how much all the merchandise he sold in the 80s drove the company, and you know how much, what you know what a breakthrough that was in helping him win the wrestling.
She has to be a top. Yeah. I'd bet the top merch person in NXT, but definitely she's got to be top two or three.
You would think
one or two people above her.
But does he see that?
Maybe in the last 6 weeks, Shinsuke Nakamura sold more T-shirts, or American Alpha's been pretty had a lot of momentum the last 2 months. They have a new shirt, which is it's okay, you know. But consistently,
well, that's, you know,
she's got to be
off Broadway.
Yeah.
When you go Broadway with Vince McMahon, you know, how's he going to see that? Is he going to see it as something that was just a niche or something that he can exploit across the world? Jason, appreciate the call, as always. Hope you have a good weekend. I hope Saturday morning, I always like to say that, is right there. Don't forget to listen to Jim Valley tomorrow with I believe he's got Mark Youngblood on again. Jim Valley, and who takes a look at wrestling from the past and nostalgia and from the territory days, and the Young Bloods are certainly a big part of that. So ought to be interesting. Travis, I appreciate you again with the co-host, except for I thought you were going to dish the dirt on Wade Keller, and you did let me down. We'll talk about that in a staff meeting, though.
All right, Bruce. Thanks.
All right. Good deal. Appreciate everybody. We went a little longer just because we got good callers, loyal callers, and I wanted to try and get everybody on. So did a great job. So appreciate everybody listening. Bruce Mitchell Audio Show Part 1 is already up. Mark Madden and I will be recording the Part 2 Bruce Mitchell Audio Show 6:00 Eastern Standard Time. We'll be recording it then. What is that?
Did I say that out loud?
Oh, good Lord. Mark is a fine person. He is a sweetheart. You know, I don't get any calls from Wade Keller talking about what a nice guy he is, though. So, like I did with you. So, you know, it ought to be some interesting insight. He spent some time with Shawn Michaels instead of doing the audio last week. So we'll talk about that and where that goes. So definitely appreciate all the listeners to the PW Torch Livecast.